I have a confession to make. I have taken the name of the Lord in vain multiple times and in grievous ways, but I had no idea what I was doing. Whatever you think it means to take the name of the Lord in vain, I've got news for you. It is a lot more, and it's a lot more serious than you probably ever dreamed. We need to re-examine this boundary together. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. And today Chip continues his series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living, a fresh look at the Ten Commandments. You know, one of those commandments is never to take the Lord's name in vain. But as we'll learn today, that means a lot more than just words that come out of our mouth. As a quick reminder, if you miss a portion of the program, you can hear it online anytime at livingontheedge.org. Now with part two of his message from Exodus chapter 20, here's Chip.
The second way that we break the third command is in our attempts to use God for personal gain. And if you write the word here, pretense. This is when we use the name of God to impress other people. I don't know if you've ever done this. Maybe you're a little tired. And have you ever been in a little small group meeting and there are people you really know? And I'm going to just admit this, so I'll get this out of the way. And, you know, you're praying and maybe you're not feeling as close to God or you're not quite as in tune as you want to be and your mind is kind of wandering and there's four or five people. And I mean, it's a prayer meeting at a church and it's really important, or in a small group, and so-and-so prays and so-and-so prays and so-and-so prays. Or like Saturday morning, we were out on this piece of property praying. And as we were praying, I mean, this lady, she was so moved by God, she started to kind of weep. And you know, have you heard someone in that, you know, oh God, thank you. And down deep in your heart of hearts, you're sort of at a, oh God, I'd like to be a little more connected right now, but I'm just not quite into this at this level, but I'm going to trust by faith. But instead of praying and speaking in a tone of voice of where you're really at, you found yourself doing something like, oh God, please. Because other people in the room were praying in a way that demonstrated a level of intensity and sincerity. And what you wanted to project was you had that same level of integrity and sincerity. And the fact is, you didn't. But the way you used God's name was in a way that indicated that you were a lot closer to Him and a lot more serious about what you were praying than was really true. You ever done, has anyone other than me ever done that? Please don't raise your hands. But that's, you take the Lord's name in vain. You see, it's pretense. A second way our pretense is to exploit others for financial gain. One of the things that I go to every year now is, you know, it's called the Christian Booksellers Association. It's this big cities, and it's the trade where all Christian books are. But they have a floor that's probably, I don't know, 6 football fields long and 3 football fields long, and they have all these vendors. You've been to these really big business conventions. And I mean, there's all the big publishers, you know, Moody and Baker and Zondervan and, you know, Tyndale, and they have their booths. And then there's about half of this thing. I mean, half of it is the stuff that they put in these Christian bookstores. I mean, Jesus vitamins. Jesus dolls. Praise the Lord stickers that, I mean, anything you can imagine. I saw a new one. There was Jesus socks. I got news for you. There's going to be some people that give an account of using the name of God to sell stuff. You don't use God's name to exploit. When you hear someone in a letter or an evangelist or a Bible teacher on TV, on the radio, and say, if you don't give this money, God is going to take me home and kill me, that's called exploitation and manipulation. That's using the name of God. This ministry will not last unless you send this money. You have to do it now. God has revealed to me that you're to give it. And if you give it, I guarantee God will give it 10 times back to you. That is manipulation. That is misusing. That is lifting up or bearing or taking the name of God in vain. It's pretense. It's exploitation. Or I've actually historically seen the name of God used to justify evil and prejudice. Do you realize there are a lot of Bible-believing Christians that were saying, slavery, slavery. I mean, it's real clear. Some people are one color, other people, the Bible, you know, Cain had a mark on him. We know what the mark is. And in the name of Scripture and God, they promoted slavery, the Inquisition, the Crusades, racism. There's a lot of things been done in the name of God, the misuse of His name, that it violates the third command. Jot down, if you will, Isaiah 48:1. Hear, O Israel, house of Jacob, who swear by the name of the Lord and evoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. Anybody here ever had someone call you from your church and you don't know them? Or get a letter from a company and you realize, how did they get my name and it sounds real personal? You know, at our church, you know, we had thousands of people involved, and so we came out with those directories, right, with the pictures. I wonder how many Christians use that directory as a mailing for their business or for finding all the phone numbers so they can make calls to solicit business. You know what that is? That's using the name of God in vain. You know why you make a pictorial directory and put everybody's address and phone number? Is so brothers and sisters can get to know one another and love one another and support one another, not so somebody somewhere somehow can use a buck. To go to a church for business contacts, to make appearance in certain places at certain times, to be aligned with Christian things in order for financial profit, is taking the name of the Lord in vain. And God says, stop. He says, stop. Don't misuse my name. The first way is perjury. The second way is pretense. And the third is the most common in everyday irreverent conversation called profanity. This is when just words kind of casually come out of our mouth. I've divided profanity because I don't think we want to lump it in one big basket into what I call level one, level two, and level three profanity. Jesus' words make it clear that every single word that comes out of your mouth and my mouth matters to Him. Matthew 12:36-37, I put it in your notes. Jesus speaking says, I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Well, that I don't know about you, that's a verse that I almost wish I had memorized. Do you think of that? Every careless word that men shall say. You know why? It's because in Luke 6:45, he tells us what our words really mean. That's why James in James 3 says, if you can ever get a hold of your tongue, you ever get a hold of your tongue and what comes out of your mouth, you will be able to guide your entire life. Because Jesus would teach that the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth what is good, and the evil man or the evil woman brings forth what is evil. For that which fills your heart comes out of your mouth. If you ever really want to know your attitude about a person, if you ever want to know what's really going on in your heart, if you will kind of listen to your speech and your tone of voice, and whether it's negative or cynical or put down or critical, you can know exactly what's in your heart when you hear the words coming out of your mouth. And according to this, it's very clear that profanity, the casualness of our words with regard to the name of God, is serious business to Him. So level one profanity is what I called it, is casualness with God's name. Last night we sang a lot of songs and God's name came up in them. If you were thinking about God as Redeemer and Lord and what He's done for you as you sang those songs with that word, you were worshiping Him in spirit and truth. If, however, when you were singing some of those songs, your mind kind of went and you kept saying the words, I think it's fine to stop if you need to think about something. But if you kept singing and saying the word God, but your mind was over here about a business deal when you get back, or your mind was over here or mine was over here, in a casual way, you were saying the name Yahweh or God or Jesus, but there was no thought behind it. You weren't engaged with the author of that name, His character, His reputation, who He is and what He's done. That's casually taking the name of the Lord in vain. Or if you're like me, there's been times where in a group you couldn't think of what to say, and you were just saying, Lord, have you ever been in a prayer meeting where you wonder, people can't figure out, it's like it's a filler word. It's like a filler word. We pray to God as though evoking the name of the creator of the universe who sent his son and died and bled and rose from the dead and will bring all of life and all the galaxies into judgment. That holy, most sacred name, we use it as a filler word. Well, I'll tell you what, that doesn't go over well in heaven. That's a casual use of his name. Or as an expression of fear. Oh, God! Or as an expression of excitement. Jesus, man alive, can that guy play? And I know what you're saying, Chip, I think you're being really picky here. You know, it just slips out. It's just a habit. I'm not really taking the Lord's name in vain. I don't mean anything by it. I really don't mean anything by it. I mean, really, I'm not taking his name in vain. I don't really mean anything by it. Listen carefully. That's the point. You don't mean anything by it. That's the point. Every time you use the name God or Lord or Jesus, and you don't mean anything by it, instead of meaning it to represent his character, his reputation, his deeds, his holiness, his love, his power, and what he means to you, it's lifting it up without purpose. It's lifting it up vainly. It's lifting it up even unintentionally with evil intent. Do you get it? Boy, you know, this is one too, I just have to confess, not growing up in the church and not studying the Ten Commandments until I was a pastor for, you know, 10, 12, 15 years. Man, I got news for you. I violated this the greater part of my Christian life. Man, I had to start retraining my mind about what would come out of my mouth when the name Jesus or God or Lord. The second level of profanity is contempt for God's name. This is calculated malice toward God. This is a line I saw in a little Bart Simpson cartoon where Bart bows his head and says, "We made all this stuff, so thanks God for nothing." It's just contempt. This is the Da Vinci Code. This is when someone who says, "This is all based on historical fact," and they make Jesus out to be having an affair with Mary Magdalene and all this gross kind of stuff, or the last temptation of Christ where Jesus is a homosexual, that's contempt for God's name. The third way, third level of profanity is cursing God's name. Literally, when someone says, take this in the right spirit since we're teaching, "God damn something," they're uttering a prayer. God damn, they're asking that the one who has the power to separate someone from him all eternally and place them apart from Christ and his love forever and ever, they're uttering a prayer, "God, I want you to damnate this person and their soul forever and ever." That's what people are saying when they use the name of the Lord in vain. And notice Exodus 27 says, "I, the Lord, will punish anyone who misuses my name." And jot down under that, just before you turn the page, Leviticus 24. If by chance you're thinking, "You know what, the first two commands, I was with you, I think you just went a little bit over the top. You know, I think you're being a little bit too nitpicky." Leviticus 24 is the first violation of the third command I can find in Scripture. Can anyone tell me, two men are fighting, and in their fighting, one of them takes the name of the Lord in vain. You know, I can only guess, you know, he caught a right uppercut and, you know, then he got hit in the stomach and then he got really upset and then he blurted out the name of the Lord in vain. Can anyone tell me that was the offense? What was the punishment? It was capital punishment. They were to stone him to death. See, here's what I want you to know. God's name isn't something to be carelessly thrown about. God's name is holy. God's name is reputation. God's name is who he is. God's name is what he's done. When it comes to our lips, our hearts and our minds need to be filled with who the God of the universe is, what he's like, what he's done, and what he means to us. And you know, here's the deal. If you over time can discipline and practice and ask the grace of God to help you do that, if you never take the name of the Lord in vain, you'll never violate commands number 1 and 2. Because there'll be no other gods before you, because you'll be thinking about them in a way like never before. And I'll tell you what, your means of worship, It will be holy. It'll be the right way. There won't be any idols because His name and who He is and what He's done will come out of your mouth in such a way that some major transformation will have occurred in your heart. Well, let me apply this as we wrap it up, because here is, I think, a pretty important question, is why is it then that otherwise intelligent people profane God's name? I mean, I'm just going to guess in a group this size, there's got to be a handful of people at least who basically came into this morning, had a nice breakfast, thought it was going to be a real nice sunny day, a little bit cooler than you thought, but it was going to be a great time around God's Word, and you're now sitting here in your most honest moments thinking, I take the name of the Lord in vain on a regular basis, and whoa. So how could a person who loves God like you, who's an intelligent person, find themselves sitting in a room where you came to learn about the Bible and possibly be someone who takes His name in vain on a regular basis? How could that happen? I've got three explanations. One, the spiritually uninformed. You just simply don't know better. You know? It was like, you know what? I heard don't take the name of the vain and Lord, I can say this. The name of the Lord in vain. And I thought that was not cussing. And I do pretty good. I mean, now and then, with a hammer on my thumb, it sort of pops out that I'm, you know, I don't cuss. I don't take the name of the Lord in vain. You were spiritually ignorant, okay, until this morning. Consider yourself now informed. Okay? Consider yourself now culpable before the God of the universe to take His name with a new level of seriousness like never before. And you know what? It will do something marvelous for your spiritual life. It really will. Because see what we have? What we have going is, here's the view that we have of God. God is small. God is trite. God isn't holy. You know what? He's become everybody's good buddy. He's been everybody's self-help genie. I want you to know that the God of the Bible is to be feared with reverential awe. He's a consuming fire. We need to get this balance of His great compassion, and we need to get this sense of His otherness and His holiness and His creatorship. We need to get a high view of God. It is only when you have a high view of God that out of reverential fear, you obey Him. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And it is almost absent in the church today. Everyone's stooping so much. We got to connect with the culture. I got news with you. I think we can connect with the culture, but I think we've fallen into the culture. I see more of the culture in the church than I see the church transforming the culture. And it starts with me. Starts with you. This, you know, let's quit blaming Hollywood and the culture and the newspapers and the magazines and all this junk and what's on TV. They only put on movies and on TV what people buy. And we claim to be 40 plus million of Americans. If every Christian had a high view of God, Hollywood would go broke. No, they wouldn't. You know what they do? They're smart. They're not trying to pollute the world. They're trying to make money. It's just easy to make pollution-type films because people will pay to see them. If the standard was, this is what we accept, and they made the highest margins on this kind of money, I'll tell you what, movies would change. So let's not throw stones at what ought to happen out there. Let's ask God for us, beginning with us individually, that we repent, and we get a high view of God, and we live differently, and we speak differently, and we have this standard. And when all of our Christian friends say, oh, that movie was good except for this, 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 and that, and you say, you know what? It's this, this, and that that makes it unacceptable to me. God bless you. You have your convictions. I have mine. I'm not going to support that kind of garbage. And you say it lovingly, nicely, winsomely, without a self-righteous, judgmental type attitude that I sort of just threw in there, so you can do better than me. Second is not only the spiritually uninformed, but the spiritually undisciplined. You know, you're a believer, you're trying, it just slips out. Casual profanity. And what I would suggest is, if it slips out, whether it's casual profanity with God's name or whether it's cursing, I would suggest that rather than get all down on yourself, what I would say is, there's probably something that God wants to do in your heart. In other words, if God's name is casual, there's something that's disconnected between your heart and His. If you still find yourself swearing, you know, different people struggle with different stuff, but in the first few months, actually, boy, I swore like a sailor all my years growing up. But as I got into the Bible, and no one told me I had to, but I went to a camp and I started reading morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. As my mind got renewed, I can't tell you the day, I can't remember when I quit cussing, but all I can tell you was, if you are in the Bible on a regular basis and digesting it, God will clean up your tongue, because your tongue is just a mirror of what's going on down here. If you got a real problem with profanity and you're a believer and boy, you know, you say, boy, damn, wish I could quit. And oh, gosh, that's not right. You know, and, you know, I'm just saying I got friends, you know, I'm glad they're honest. But you know what it usually tells me? It usually tells me there's a deficiency of what's going in their mind and their heart. And God wants to deal with something down in here. And then third is what I call the spiritually dead. I want to guard God's name. But, you know, people that don't know God, it doesn't bother them when they take his name in vain. They don't even hear themselves. And I have not taken upon myself to be the Holy Spirit police for unbelievers. When people don't know God, they're going to take his name in vain. And I think there's some creative ways when people are cussing like that. And as I read recently, one guy said, boy, you do a lot of your praying in public, don't you? And the guy said, well, then what are you talking about? And he was GD this and GD that. He said, well, you understand that you're uttering a prayer. And, you know, I don't expect, what it tells me is when people have very, very foul mouths and use God's name in vain, it tells me they're not connected with him and they don't know him and they have great spiritual need. And what I need to do is have compassion. I need to pray. I need to move into their life. And my goal is not to figure out how I can clear up their tongue. That you know what? That's just the evidence. My goal is to figure out how can God use me to reach their heart. And by the way, if you happen to, you know, and someone invited you to the camp, and I kind of don't know who comes to these camps, but if you just cuss and swear on a regular basis and everything I said is like, this doesn't bother me at all, then I would say, examine yourself. Because if the Spirit of God lives in you, then his name will matter to you because his character and his reputation is important to you. And what he did on the cross is paramount to your life. And therefore, there will be a sensitivity to the name of Jesus. There'll be a sensitivity to the name of God and Lord. And so I would encourage you just together to do a little analysis and say, Lord, could I unconsciously or consciously be a part of breaking oaths, perjury, and taking your name in vain? Could I unconsciously or consciously have a level of pretense in my life where I actually use your name as sort of a door opener in relationships or even financial exploitation? And then, Lord, is there profanity? I mean, is it casual level one unthinking and I just need to, you know, jolt and get really clear on this? Or, you know, is it level two or level three? And when you take the name of God seriously, you will find your view of God will get large and big and holy. And you will find a lot of other, like dominoes, things will get solved in your heart and your life.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, Never Abuse My Name, is from his series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living. As Chip explained today, rather than a rigid list of don'ts, the Ten Commandments are really safety guardrails from a Heavenly Father who loves his children. Creating a solid foundation for every aspect of life, God's Boundaries provides a high view of God that'll give you a fresh appreciation of your relationship with him. If you'd like a better, more meaningful understanding of God's boundaries, we want to help. For a limited time, the CDs for God's Boundaries are discounted, and the MP3s are absolutely free. You'll find God's Boundaries resources on our website, livingontheedge.org. Or to talk with one of our customer care representatives, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, getting an accurate view of God really does clarify so much that we struggle with. Now, what do you think is the best way to get clear on who God is?
Well, Dave, what we know is that when we get into God's Word, it changes our mind and our heart. Mm-hmm. What we also know is a lot of people struggle to get into God's Word, or when they get into God's Word, they don't understand or they don't really experience and hear God's voice. Hmm. And that's honestly why we've created a free video resource called How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture. It's five brief online videos where I literally walk people through step by step how to get into God's Word. And what I can tell you is it's how God taught me to hear his voice as I get into the Bible. And I think it'll be a very simple way for you and those you love to get into God's Word on a regular basis and make that the habit of your life, where you begin to hear his voice, you hear his whisper, he speaks to you, he gives direction. What we want you to know is that there's an easy, clear way. There's a daily pattern of spending time with God, and you can learn to hear his voice. And when you do, He'll direct your life. People who say, I've never opened God's Word and say, I don't know where to begin, this video series will help you start sort of at point A and begin to hear God's voice and learn to study Scripture for yourself. We're really excited about putting this in people's hands, and it's absolutely free.
Well, I hope you'll take advantage of Chip's online video course called How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture. Being able to discern God's direction will provide stability in your life and wisdom like never before. Now, you can do these 5 video sessions on your own time, at your own pace, or with a small group. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org to check out this free video resource and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Well, now, here's Chip.
As we close today's program about taking God's name in vain, you know, what we're learning, it means a lot more. You know, we talked about, taking His name in vain in terms of perjury, about pretense for personal gain, and then in everyday irreverent language or profanity. And Jesus said, remember that word? He says in Matthew 12, every careless word men shall speak, you'll render account for it in the day of judgment. I'll tell you what, let that one soak in. We're living in a day where casual speech, what comes out of our mouth, in the name of grace, in the name of freedom, what's the difference whether I say God or gosh? I mean, if I say a 4-letter word here and there, you know, God knows my heart. Don't be legalistic. There's a growing sense that what comes out of our mouth doesn't matter. Let me tell you, it does to God. There were 3 levels of profanity. We talked about casualness with God's name. You know, using God's name as a filler in. You know, you're talking to people and, oh, God, this, and, oh, God, that, and, oh, God, this, and, oh, my God, and, you know, oh, golly. People, wake up. Wake up. God's name should never be a filler. The second level of profanity was contempt for God's name. You know, this is, stuff that basically is, I mean, really anti-God. And then the third level was cursing God's name. And the cursing in context here was willfully requesting God to send someone to hell. I mean, very, very serious stuff. Now, I'm just going to guess that in our listening audience, whether it's online or whether it's by way of radio, I'm really praying a lot of you aren't wrestling a lot with, you know, asking God to send people to hell. But I'm on a number of campuses and teaching and hanging out with not just the younger generation, but there's a little flavor coming in our day that basically says, you know something, what comes out of my mouth doesn't really matter. You know, God understands. I just cuss. I can't break it. Let me tell you something. Your mouth reveals your heart. That's not me, that's Jesus. Whatever comes out of your mouth, and I don't mean just profanity and 4-letter words or using, quote, God's name in vain. I mean, what comes out of my mouth and your mouth reveals your heart, and God is going to hold us accountable for that. And you may think it's, in fact, kind of cool. If there's anything I've seen more and more as I've hung out is that, like, I so don't want to be stereotyped as one of those goody-two-shoe Christians. I so don't want to be put in that camp of people that are, you know, holier than thou. I almost need to prove that I'm Christian cool by doing a few things that used to be taboo. And one of them is, you know, I'll have a swear word, sort of a little effect. You know what's behind that? That's called ego, arrogance, and disregard for a holy God. And I want to tell you, if 4-letter words come out of your mouth, God wants to say to you, you do not represent me well, and I will hold you accountable. And let me encourage brothers and sisters, I didn't grow up as a Christian, and there's still a culture out there that when we hear people use profanity or use God's name in endless chatter, you know, I got news for you. We just think, the guy calls himself a Christian, she says she's a Christian, and yet that comes out of their mouth, you are totally discounted. But what's worse, the gospel is discounted. I urge you, I plead with you, fellow Romans 12 Christians, fellow believers that really want to live like believers, will you please ask God to help your speech reflect the purity and the holiness of what He wants in your heart and what other people need to hear?
As we close today's broadcast, I just want to remind you about the Chip Ingram app. The free Chip Ingram app delivers daily broadcasts, like our program today, special offers, Chip's interactive message outlines, and much more. To download the Chip Ingram app, just visit the App Store or Google Play today. Well, join us again tomorrow when we continue our current series. For Chip and the entire team, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.